welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier, bringing you an hour of mystery. Later on, the adventures of Ellery Queen from 1948. But first, it's yours truly, Johnny Deller, with the episode The Hand of Providential Matter, a CBS broadcast from November 1st, 1959.
Johnny Deller.
Whiteman, Providential Assurance Company.
Providential Assurance?
That's right. You've heard of us, of course.
No, sir, I can't say that I have. But what's on your mind, Mr. Whiteman?
Embezzlement.
Don't try it.
What?
Why would you get yourself into a lot of trouble?
I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry, I was just trying to make it funny.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, now, if you care to look into this for us...
Sure, why not?
Then I suggest you come here to my office and I shall give you the details.
I take it there's a fee here in addition to my expenses?
If you recover the money, something over $200,000... you can practically name your own fee.
Great.
That is, up to, say, $5,000.
On a $200,000 loss?
That's right.
Oh, well, then maybe I'd better figure on padding out my expense account.
Now, just a minute.
Oh, stop worrying, Mr. Whiteman.
But if you have any intention of...
Just keep your shirt on. I'll be over to see you.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Deller.
And now, Act One of yours truly, Johnny Deller.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Deller to the Providential Assurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Now, at this point, I don't know if it's the home office or not. Anyhow, following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Hand of Providential matter. For some reason or other, dealing with a new company usually spells trouble for me. But expense account item one, $1.25 for a taxi to the offices of Providential down in the square. When I say offices, I mean exactly two with a connecting door.
I'm very glad to see you, Mr. Dollar. I'm Ernest L. Whiteman.
Mr. Whiteman?
And this gentleman, Mr. Dollar...
I'm the man that had Ernie Whiteman send for you.
Yes, this is...
Name is Elwood Sprague, Dollar. I'm the owner of this business.
The sole owner, Mr. Sprague?
That's right, son. Providential Assurance is all mine, lock, stock, and barrel. Oh,
I see.
Made a lot of money in oil down in Texas. Couldn't find any way to spend it all, so I started this here. So what happens? All I get is more money out of it.
Yeah, well, Mr. Whiteman said something over the phone about an embezzlement.
Exactly. $200,000 that was
taken from... Go ahead and tell them all about it, Ernie, my boy. Tell them how it happened.
Well, you see, Mr. Dollar, immediate public acceptance of our company is largely due to the fact that...
What he means, Dollar, is the reason we sell so many policies is on account of... We always pay off any claims real prompt in cash and hard, cold cash.
Exactly. And for that reason,
Never question a claim. Just pay it off in cash. That's what we promise, and that's what we do.
And for that reason, Mr. Dollar...
That's why so many people who can't afford much insurance come to us.
Yes, but as a result...
So what happens? Instead of a nice tax loss, there ain't enough claims to fill your hat. All we make is profit.
You mean you've hoped to lose money in this business?
Tax loss, Mr. Dollar. You ever have to pay the taxes on profits from a couple of hundred producing oil wells?
Hardly. But now, Mr. Whiteman, about this embezzlement.
As I started to say, paying off in cash as we do...
That's right. Means keeping a lot of cash on hand.
Oh? Then this embezzlement was of your own money?
Exactly. The money was stolen from us.
You kept that kind of money here in a safe or something?
Well, wouldn't keep it laying around on the floor, would you?
Well, have you any idea who might have taken it?
We most certainly have.
Sure. It was Hauser. Tom Hauser. The only one besides Whitey had the combination to the safe.
He also kept the books, Mr. Dollar.
Well, didn't you check his books periodically?
Oh, of course I did. But when I discovered the loss this morning, I also discovered he'd been juggling the accounts.
Well, how long ago did this Tom Hauser work here?
Up until yesterday.
As I told Mr. Sprague, I informed Hauser last night that I planned to check the cash as well as the books this morning.
So what happens? This morning he's gone, and so is the money. Well, Dollar.
When you ask me, this sounds like the most loosely run insurance company.
Mr. Dollar.
How you ever managed to get a license from the insurance commission?
Well, now, that license is something we ain't bothered with yet.
You what?
You gotta make sure we got a business first, don't we?
Are you kidding? Do you realize what the commission will do when they find out about this?
Don't give it a thought, son.
To say nothing of the police.
Your job is to catch that Tom
Hauser. Look here, Mr. Sprague.
Then, if the insurance commission or the government or anybody says we're doing wrong...
And you can bet they will.
Why, then, I'll pay them and get out of this business.
Believe me, it'll cost you a lot more than this $200,000.
Well, sure, maybe a couple million. It'll make a nice tax loss.
Yeah, and you'll probably end up in jail.
Well, now, you let me worry about that. Your job is to get this embezzler... And don't forget, we're paying you $5,000 to do it.
Look, you say it may cost you millions to get out of this mess.
That's right.
And yet you're worried about a couple of hundred thousand?
Well, now, that's different.
Huh?
That was stolen, son. That was illegal.
Trying to make sense with this man was like trying to reason with a hitching post. I told him I didn't want the case and that I could understand why he'd hesitate about calling in the police. Sure, they'd probably start asking questions. With the only answers he could give them, he'd really be in trouble. I told him that my only duty, as far as I could see, was to notify the commission of this whole operation.
Sure, son. If your conscience hurts you, go ahead. Notify them. After you got this money back first.
After?
Well, I don't know much about investigation, but seems to me that with him gone only a few hours, well, if I was you, I wouldn't be wasting any time.
Now, you got a point there.
Sure, sure. And don't you forget that $5,000 that's waiting for you. Will you bring that money back?
Well, I ask you, what would you have done? And with a fee of $5,000 dangling in front of your eyes. Yeah, that's what I did. I took the case.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Higginbotham here. We will now commence our lesson in stereophonic reproduction. Listen to the call of the spotted bill snicker on ordinary stereo. Now then, on a Columbia Stereo 1 phonograph. Obvious difference, what? The Columbia stereophonic system really causes all others to blush. For it is not composed of just a few separated speakers. Columbia is the originator and exclusive purveyor of stereo projection. Only Columbia fills every inch of a room with real, lifelike sound. Now, when I was birdwatching with the Duchess of... But let that pass. You simply must hear the Stereo One phonograph by Columbia. Ask your Columbia phonograph dealer for a demonstration. And, chaps, portables are priced as low as $39.95. Consoles commence at $129.95. Lost that bird.
And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Hand of Providential Matter.
Hoping the insurance commission wouldn't hang me if they ever found out I'd taken an assignment from this outfit, I decided to check the last known whereabouts of the embezzler, the bookkeeper who'd stolen some $200,000 from him. After getting his description and his address from Mr. Sprague, I spent item two, $1.85, for a taxi to a dingy rooming house on the north side of town. At the front door, I was met by a frowsy old maid wearing a rather slovenly blue housecoat. She looked like she'd just gotten out of bed, and her stringy black hair was up in paper curlers.
Principal investigator, huh?
That's right. Here, my credentials.
Johnny Dollar, freelance. Well, Mr. Tom Hauser ain't here right now.
I know. Have you any idea where he might be?
I seen him leaving bag and baggage late last night. Guess he's gone on a trip somewheres. I was sitting by the front window having a can of beer before I went to bed, and I seen him get in his car and drive off.
Yeah, well, just let me have the key to his room.
Are you sure that's all right unless you got some kind of a warrant?
Yeah, I'm sure. The key, please.
Well, I ain't had a chance to clean his room up yet today.
Don't do it. Don't touch a thing of his until I tell you to.
Oh, well, now look, dearie.
Just let me have the key. And here. Here's a fire spot for your trouble.
Oh. Well, now, you're what I'd call a real gent. And here's the key. It's the first apartment on the right, top of the stairs.
Yeah, thanks.
Is something wrong, Mr. Dollar? Did Mr. Hauser do something he oughtn't have done?
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Hey, I had to come back here. Pick up my stuff.
So he isn't here.
Yeah. Don't worry about the split. I'll meet you like I said. Yeah, then we'll take care of it. All right. I'm leaving it right away. Neither Johnny Dollar nor anybody else will ever... He what? Well, if he does, I'll be ready for him.
Uh-huh.
So come on now, hang up. Let me get out of here. Stop worrying, pal. I can take care of him and anybody else.
Quietly as possible, I slipped the key into the door. I had some difficulty turning it, but finally heard the lock slip. Then I started slowly turning the knob. And then, well, I'm not quite sure exactly what did happen, except the door was suddenly pulled open so quickly that...
Okay, baby! Oh! Hey, you want some more? What's the idea, hanging around outside? Wait a minute. You must be Dollar. Yeah, Johnny Dollar. No. Then, baby, I'm going to make sure you never get up again. No!
Oh. Here, dear, you just try and get down another slug out of this bottle. Just leave that wet rag laying there on your forehead. It'll make you feel better.
What? Oh, holy.
Yeah. You just stay there on the floor until you feel better.
Where'd he go?
Oh, dearie. Who done this to you?
You didn't you see him?
I heard a big noise up here, and when I run up the stairs, he must have heard me and run away. He was just a-laying here bleeding this way.
That window. What's outside that window?
Only the fire escape. But look, dearie.
Yeah?
Watch the table lamp. This must have been what...
Don't touch it.
What?
No, I'll wrap it in my handkerchief and...
But who could have come here and done this to you? I can't imagine.
Well, I can. Tom Hauser. Item 3, $1.20 for a cab to police headquarters. Anybody but Sergeant Ed Wilson would have asked a lot of questions that I didn't feel like answering. Ed simply took the lamp, told one of the boys in the lab to check, and if he found any prints on it, to classify them, then send a teletype to Washington. Item 4, $1 even for a cab to my apartment. After a long, cool shower, I felt somewhat better. I just got back into my clothes when the phone rang. Johnny Dollar.
Ed Wilson, Johnny. Those prints on that lamp.
Yeah, Ed.
Thomas Harker, alias Tim Hosker, alias Tommy Hauser, alias just about everything else you can think of. Johnny, that boy is one of the 10 most wanted.
No kidding.
And for everything from safe-cracking to murder. You got any kind of a lead on him?
Only that rooming house where he slugged me.
Then he may be 100 miles away by now.
I wouldn't bank on it. So, Ed.
Yeah?
You'd better put out that good old dragnet.
Oh, don't worry, Johnny. But listen, just remember one thing about him.
Like what?
If that boy thinks you recognize
him... I didn't even get a look at him.
Maybe he doesn't know that. And if he finds out he didn't kill you, Johnny...
Well?
He'll be back to finish the job.
Ed.
Ed? This is Pat McCracken, Johnny, at Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Oh, sorry, Pat. I thought it was Ed Wilson again.
Sergeant Wilson of police headquarters?
Yeah, and listen, I'm in kind of a hurry.
Oh, then I won't hold you. I was just hoping you'd have time to look into what appears to be a phony insurance company for us.
What? Keep talking.
But if you're already working on a...
No, just go on with what you were saying, Pat.
Well, we got a complaint about some new company here in town that we'd never heard of. Seems they're stalling on the payment of a small claim.
Yeah, sure. In spite of their pledge to pay off promptly and without question.
Yeah.
Also to pay off in cold cash.
Yes, that's right.
Providential Assurance Company.
Well, what do you know about them? Johnny?
Oh, I'm working on a case for them.
Oh, no. Oh, Johnny, don't. I telephoned the commission, you know, to find out who they are.
Yeah, the commission never heard of them.
Exactly. So if I were you, until we can find out whether they're a legitimate outfit, Johnny, I wouldn't touch them.
Hey, tell me, Pat, what'll the commission do?
They've notified him by mail. They're sending over a committee to investigate, to look at the books and so on.
When?
First of the week, Monday or Tuesday. Why?
That may be too late.
What?
If that outfit's what I think it is, and if I can do what I think I can...
Johnny...
Well, if I can't collect my fee and expenses from them, maybe I'll send a bill on to you.
What?
After all, I may be doing the whole insurance business a great and glorious service.
Johnny, what are you talking about?
That is, if I don't get killed first.
Listen, Johnny...
I'll see you later. Now the question is... But wait a minute... If Providential is what I think it is, where does Tommy Hauser's theft of $200,000 come in, if he was working for them? Well, why did they call me in? Johnny Dollar. Hello?
This here is Elwood Sprague.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Sprague.
I wasn't sure I'd find you in.
Yeah, I think I can understand that. Or maybe you weren't sure you'd find me around at all anymore.
No, listen, don't get me wrong, Dollar. I want to see you. I gotta see you right now.
Yeah, why not? They're at your office?
No, no.
Well?
My room, here at Guilford, and you'll come alone?
Are you alone, Mr. Sprague?
Yes, Mr. Dollar. Will you come right away?
Yeah, as soon as I can.
Thank you.
That's funny. If he wants to see me, if he is alone, or is this some kind of a trap? No, there was absolute sincerity in his voice. I was sure of it. Yeah, and there was something else, too. Fear. Maybe that was it, fear. Hello?
Johnny, listen, you said you'd been working with the police.
So?
Well, I knew I'd never get anything out of you, so I called them. Listen, if this Elwood Sprague of Providential has anything to do with the beating you took, has he?
Pat, I'm on my way over to see Sprague right now.
Well, I tried calling Providential. He isn't there.
I know.
But if he and that gangster, that Tommy Holland...
Sorry, Pat, he's waiting for me over at the Guilford.
Johnny...
There was no time to waste. Maybe Hauser was still gunning for me, but if so, well, maybe I wasn't the only one. Item 5, a couple of bucks for a cab to the Guilford Hotel. And there in his room, I found a very different Elwood Sprague than I'd talked to earlier. And the story that he slowly, nervously unfolded proved to be very interesting.
So maybe I didn't ever make no oil fortune there in Texas. It ain't so easy down there as you might think. But I learned to use my wits and my brains to get along by outsmarting the next man. You see what I mean, Mr. Dollar?
Then those 200 oil wells you were talking about...
Well, it made a good line. It fooled you, didn't it? It even fooled Ernie Whiteman for a while. That's what gave him the idea.
The idea for what, Mr. Sprague?
Well, me to front for this insurance racket. You know, collect a lot of premiums and then we'd skip town.
Right in the heart of the insurance industry?
Always harder to pick out a bad apple in a barrel for, ain't it?
Oh, brother. So what happened?
That Ernie's a salesman, Johnny. When he got started on the country people around here, the money come rolling in. And when somebody made a claim, we stalled them on it.
How long did you think you could get away with this?
Until the commission got wise to us, then we'd move out.
The commission was planning to investigate you next week.
I know. Only by that time, we'd be out of here.
Yeah, you and Wyvern and this Tommy Hauser.
Hauser. Ernie brought him in. He said because he had a record, the police would know about him, so he would take the rap if anything went wrong. But then he walks out with all the money last night.
And then you sent for me. Why?
Because Ernie and me go after Hauser, he might have killed us. Ernie didn't want to send for you, but I made him. I held a gun on him.
Oh, real nice people.
Because maybe Hauser didn't know you. Maybe you could nab him and get the money for us. So what if you did get wise to us? What if we should have to cut you in to keep you from blabbing to
Why,
the law?
You rotten... Do you think everybody in this world is a crook?
Well, at least it was better than leaving Hauser get away with all of it.
Well, looks to me like he has so far.
Well, Johnny, now listen.
Oh, I'm listening.
Now, Ernie didn't know it, but I heard him on the phone. He was talking to Hauser. He was double-crossing me. They're meeting somewhere to split the money.
Yeah? And, well, what else did you expect?
Now, listen, Johnny. Then they're coming over here to kill me so that I can't talk, you see. That's when I phoned you to come over here.
And you think for one minute I'm going to stick my neck out to save that lousy hide of yours?
Oh, you got to, Johnny. You got to.
All I got to do is turn you over to the police.
The police?
Or would you rather just sit here and wait for Hauser and Wyvern? Well?
Oh, all right, Johnny.
All right, come on. At least it may keep you from getting shot, which is better than you deserve it. Well?
Ernie.
Back inside, please, both of you.
That gun.
That's right, the one that killed Hauser when he tried to hold out on me. The one that's going to kill you, Elwood, for what I heard just now through this door.
Oh, no, Ernie, please. Johnny.
And, of course, that means you'll have to go with him, Dollar. Now get inside that room.
Pat, both of you. I kind of thought you might be coming over here.
What are you talking about?
After I told you where I was headed. You too, Sergeant.
Sergeant.
The police.
That's right. So you'd better drop
Look
that.
Out. You think you're going to...
Well, Johnny?
Oh, thanks, Ed. You too, Pat. Oh, and Ed.
Yeah, Johnny.
Maybe you'd better put a pair of cuffs on Mr. Sprague here. You know, to keep him out of any more trouble.
Oh, I'll go along peaceful.
So the big fat fee that was promised doesn't get paid to me after all. And I'm sure I may as well forget the expense account for a change. But you know something? It doesn't matter. Because the important thing was to have had some small part in wiping out this dirty racket. Me? I feel good. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment.
Constipation is something people don't talk about much, but it can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, it's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Well, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say. A laxative should be effective, gentle, as close to natural acting as possible,
and a medicine that can be used with complete confidence. Now, X-Lax has been popular with many doctors and millions of people over the years because pleasant-tasting chocolate at X-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. X-Lax is gentle. Next morning, it gives you the closest thing to natural action. And that's why many doctors and millions of people use X-Lax with complete confidence. X-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight. Is X-Lax in your medicine cabinet?
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, a man who uses government help to promote his one-man crime wave. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Edgar Barrier, Junius Matthews, Jerry Hausner, and Lawrence Dobkin. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Coverley speaking.
Next, the nerve-tingling progress of a man hurled into space from Suspense on the CBS Radio Network.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 1st of November, 1959 on CBS. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Just before the Second World War ended, on the Mutual Broadcasting System, the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes were heard on air, reinventions of works by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle for radio. And part of the writing team who brought forth those stories was Anthony Boucher, who authored this next broadcast of The Adventures of Ellery Queen, an ABC episode from April 29th, 1948, called The Three Frogs.
Ellery Queen. In the interest of a safer American home, a happier American community, a more united state, the American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations bring you Ellery Queen.
I dedicate this program to the fight against crime. Not only crimes of violence and crimes of dishonesty, but also crimes of intolerance, discrimination, and bad citizenship. Crimes against America.
The American Broadcasting Company presents another case in the career of Ellery Queen, celebrated fighter of crime. As usual, Ellery invites you to match wits with him as he relates the mystery. And before revealing the solution, he gives you a chance to solve it. Tonight, Ellery's guest armchair detective, who will represent you home armchair detectives, is the famous columnist of Daily Variety, Miss Florabelle Muir. And now, here's Ellery Queen, your host for the next half hour.
Thank you, Paul Masterson, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's case is much more Nicky's than mine. I urge everyone interested in the problem of juvenile delinquency to listen to The Three Frogs. All right, Nicky, so you decided to find a new apartment, but did you have to pick the east side, the slum?
Around this corner, Ellery.
Garbage tossed out the front windows, gangs of young hoodlums. Nicky, do you know what the incidence of crime is in this neighborhood? Well, for the love of...
That three-story and basement brownstone over there, Ellery. Take it back, Mr. Q.
Oh, in space. Around the corner, and it's a very nice street.
Nothing wrong with the house, either.
You sure the place isn't haunted? There must be something wrong with it.
I'd like to see the ghost who could make me move. Thanks, Ellery.
Oh, wait, Nicky, I'll go up with you. I'd like to see that apartment.
Nothing doing. You'll wait till I fix it up.
Well, all right. See you tomorrow, Nicky.
Night, Ellery.
Night.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
I believe we're neighbors. My name is Stankman, Clyde Stankman.
Oh, yes, you're on the floor above me, Mr. Stankman. My name is Nicky Porter.
How do you do? No, allow me, Miss Porter.
Oh, thank you.
You know, Young women really shouldn't live in this neighborhood.
Why not, Mr. Tankson?
Too much crime. There was just a... Oh, Mr. Gazeau.
Bonsoir, monsieur.
Miss Porter, Mr. Gazeau, top floor.
Hello, Mr. Gazeau.
Enchanté, mademoiselle. Monsieur Stanklin, did you hear...
Mr. Gazeau was reporting the UN for a Paris paper, Miss Porter.
Yes.
How thrilling.
No, mademoiselle. Very dull. I'd much rather report your crime news. Monsieur, did you hear on the radio...
That street fight 2 blocks away?
Oh, no.
Yes, Gazeau, I've just been over there. Bad.
Then it is where I'm going. Pardon, mademoiselle.
Oh, certainly.
Hello, it is like Paris.
Was anybody hurt, Mr. Stanklin?
Yes. Gang of hoodlums, mere boys, started it.
Oh, dear.
Well, I'll be saying good night.
Good night, Mr. Stanklin.
Good night, Miss Porter.
Now, where was that light switch again? Oh. What?
Yeah, this is a real rat, sister, so don't get no ideas.
What are you doing in my apartment?
I was in a fight. I'm on the lam from the lousy cops.
Aren't you a little young to be afraid of policemen? How old are you?
Stay where you are. 14 and no cracks.
14. And what's your name?
Frankie Clough. And you're going to hide me out, sister. I'll...
You're bleeding. I know it hurts, but I've got to wash some of this blood away, Frankie. And it's no use fumbling around for your artillery. I've hidden it.
You... Oh! It's a trap. Sister, you call the cops and I'll... Who's that?
Yes? Who's there?
Police.
Cops? You call them, you...
Be quiet.
I told you, Sergeant, this is Nicky's new apartment.
Ellery.
Nicky, it's Ellery. Come on, open.
I'm getting out of here.
You're staying right here, Frankie, and keep your mouth shut. Coming, Ellery. Well, if it isn't EQ and Sergeant Veeley. Fine time for a visit. What's up?
All hallelujahs broke loose over on Stucker Street, Miss Porter.
I was on my way home, and I ran into the thick of it. And Veeley here.
Yeah, somebody in the back thought he saw a kid duck into the alley behind this house, Miss P.
He wouldn't be in your apartment, would he, Nicky?
A boy? Who is he? What'd he do?
Well, apparently he's done a great deal, Nicky. He's one of the ringleaders of a juvenile gang who call themselves the Frogs.
This kid is known as the Bubblegum Kid.
The Frogs pulled a big job tonight, then apparently got into a fight over the division of the spoils.
Well, what's going to happen to this boy if he's caught?
What's going to happen to him? He's going to get what's coming to him, and that's plenty.
Juvenile court and probably the reformatory.
That's going to cure him, won't it?
I know, Nicky. It's a tough problem. But what are we standing here in the hall for? As long as I'm here, Nicky?
Not till the place is fixed up.
Why, Nicky... You'll have me thinking you've got that young hoodlum in there.
Oh, go on away.
Come on, Sergeant.
Right. Good night, Miss Porter.
Good night, Sergeant.
Night, Nicky.
Night, Ellery. Well, Frankie, you still think this is a trap?
I don't get it. Hey, lady, what are you doing?
You're going to bed. Stay bed. Hold still.
You're going to undress me?
Well, you can't go to bed with your clothes on.
I'll undress myself.
All right, Frankie. But be very careful.
You going to stay in the room?
No, Frankie. Just pair of my pajamas.
Put on a dame's pajamas. No soap.
Put this on, Frankie, or I put it on for you.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Hey, where are you going?
For the doctor who lives on the ground floor.
No, don't get no doctor.
And then, Frankie, you and I are going to have a little talk.
To hold still.
You're killing me, Doc.
This is going to hurt.
Dr. Cordle, isn't that an awfully nasty wound?
Yes, lost a lot of blood. But I wouldn't worry, Miss Porter. These slum boys are tough.
Well, Frankie's no slum product, Doctor. He's my nephew.
Really? How did you get this knife wound, Frankie?
That's not from a knife. I was climbing a fence with glass on top. Cut me all up.
Oh, I see.
He mustn't be moved, Miss Porter, and that wound has to be watched.
I'll be okay. Let me alone.
I'll watch it, Dr. Cordell. I've had some nursing experience.
Good, good. There, young man. How does that dressing feel?
Oh, great.
Should be changed every 12 hours, Miss Porter, and watch his temperature.
Yes, Doctor. What do I owe you?
Well, since we're neighbors, Miss Porter, I'll send you a bill. I'll take a look in on him tomorrow. Good night.
Good night, Doctor, and thank you. Well, that's over. Feel better?
He made me nervous. Hey, what are you doing?
Just tucking you in.
That little guy don't look like no real doctor anyway. Looks more like a toad all hunched over.
Frankie, we don't talk about other people's physical defects. Not Dr. Cordell's fault that he has a hunchback. And it's to his credit that he was able to overcome his handicap.
Handicap?
Everyone has some handicap to overcome. Some of us have to overcome the way we started out in life.
Like me, I mean. I'm doing okay.
There you are. Frankie, I think we ought to let your father and mother know where you are, don't you?
My who? Hey, what do you think I am, a Boy Scout?
No, Frankie, I don't think you're a Boy Scout. You're not man enough to be one.
Say, listen, baby.
The name is Miss Porter, Frankie. Don't you have any parents?
Ah, sure. Sure, my old man's doing a stretch and stir, and my old lady, I don't know where she is. Ain't seen her for 2 years.
I see. Then where do you live, Frankie?
Oh, around. We frogs got a clubhouse, kinda. I sleep there on the floor most of the time. Hey, this bed is the nuts.
Frog?
Yeah, my gang. The big shot who organized it calls himself the Frog, and we...
Yes, Frankie? Go on, I'm interested.
I made it all up. Hey, where are you going to sleep?
In my bedroom there. Now, you'd better get some rest.
Wait a second. Why are you doing all this for me? What's your angle?
Angle? Frankie, not everyone has an angle.
Oh, no. I suppose you're doing this because you like me, huh?
That's one reason.
Huh?
Another is that everybody talks about helping boys like you, but very few actually do.
Nobody's got to do nothing for me.
Frankie, I'd like you to talk to that man who was here a while ago, the one I called Ellery.
Yeah? What for? Who is he?
Ellery Queen.
Ellery Queen? That cop-loving... I knew this was a trap.
Frankie, no.
I want out. Let go of me.
No, Frankie.
Go. So bushed, I can't even get away from a lousy... Dame.
You're staying right here till you get well.
This Queen will sick the cops on me.
No, Frankie, he'll help you.
His old man's a cop. He's got cop blood. I hate every lousy cop that ever
Frankie,
was...
Frankie, suppose I promise not to tell Mr. Queen about you till you say the word. How's that?
Okay.
It's a deal. Now, I'm going to turn the light off.
Say, Miss Porter.
Yes, Frankie?
I'm sorry I called you a lousy dame. Night.
Good night, Frankie.
We've got to find that bubblegum kid. We've got to.
Yeah, Inspector.
Now, whoa, Dad. Take it easy.
Inspector, why is this boy so important?
Because, Nicky, I think he knows who the Frog is. The adult who organized the kid gang and directs their operations.
Oh, you make him talk, Inspector?
We've got to break the back of this gang. Billy, the boy is hiding out around Stocker Street somewhere. You get down there and don't come back till you find him.
Yes, sir. Let's see. I think we've been trying to do.
Go on, you two, go home.
Inspector.
What, Nicky?
Why do these boys hate policemen so?
Because they're on the street and they figure the officer's there to spoil their fun, Nicky.
Fear, Nicky. Hate is made by fear.
Any cop worth his salt knows he's got to sell the kids on the idea that he's their friend, which he is. But they learn to obey the rules the way they've got to when they grow up.
Look at the way they have to grow up, Inspector.
I know, Nicky, but after all, we're only cops. We can't change social conditions. That's a job for everybody. And I got to report to the boss. Night.
Night, Inspector.
Night, Dad.
Well...
Nicky, why this sudden interest in slum kids?
Oh, just generally. Ellery, I've got to get on home.
Oh, sure, I'll take you.
Well, don't bother.
No bother at all. I'd like to. Come on.
Ellery, no...
What's the matter, Nicky? Isn't your apartment fixed up yet?
Well, not entirely.
Or don't you want me to see the boy you're hiding out?
How'd you know?
I didn't. You just told me.
Ellery, he's only 14 years old. His father's in prison and his mother's...
Nikki, the boy's broken the law.
I know, but Ellery, he's just a child and he's hurt.
Oh. But, Nikki, if he can put the finger on this man they call the fraud...
Frankie then... doesn't know who he is. Ellery, he doesn't.
Nikki, he
does. I tell you, he doesn't. He sends them messages. They've never seen him. That's what Frankie says, and I believe him. But even if he's lying, to turn him over to the police now... Ellery, I want to show him that not everyone's an enemy, that there are decent people in this world. People who'll give him what he's never had, love. And I'm doing it, Ellery. I'm getting somewhere. He's fighting me, but he's losing. Let me have him for just a little while longer, won't you? Please, please.
Nikki, if Dad ever finds out about this, you'll have to hide me out, too.
Look at yourself in the mirror, Frankie.
Am I sharp? Say, Aunt Nikki, this suit must have set you back plenty of moolah.
Oh, never mind that. You're sure you feel well enough, Frankie?
Oh, in the pink, in the pink.
Then come on.
But where are we going? What's the mystery?
Well, Frankie...
Come on, then. Good evening, Miss Porter.
Oh, hello.
And this is the nephew, Miss Porter?
Yes, Mr. Gazzo. This is Frankie.
Very nice-looking boy. Hello.
Hiya.
Pardon?
And Mr. Stanklin.
Mr. who?
This boy looks familiar to me.
Let's get a move on, huh, Aunt Nikki?
Oh, yes, Frankie. Nice to have seen you both.
Good evening, Mildred.
Very familiar.
Here you are.
Why, Frankie, you remembered the door. Thank you.
Say, Aunt Nikki, who's that little Frenchman? What's his racket?
Why, little Mr. Gazzo is a reporter for a French newspaper.
Oh. And, who was that great, big, tall old guy?
Mr. Stanklin? Another neighbor, apartment over mine. They say he has a strong box full of bonds and his...
Yeah?
Nothing. Nothing, Frankie.
You scared I'd crack his box, swipe the bonds?
Would you?
You wouldn't like it, would you?
No, Frankie, I wouldn't.
That's what I thought. Stealing is for suckers. Say, where are we going, Aunt Nikki?
To the subway, to Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
I have a niece there, Frankie. She's in junior high. I want you two to meet.
A girl? I nothing doing.
I think, Frankie, you'll find Ivy a little different from the girls you've known.
Oh. Not a tough babe, huh?
No, Frankie. I thought maybe you'd like to take Ivy and me out to the movies tonight. She's terribly anxious to meet you.
She is. Huh. Sounds okay? Yeah.
Hey, not so fast.
Hey, could you let me have a dime?
Sure, Frankie. What for?
I feel like I'd like to have some bubble gum.
Oh, you walk so fast, Frankie. I'd sit down here on the stoop till I catch my breath.
But why won't you tell me what Ivy said, Aunt Nikki?
He might get a swelled head.
You mean she liked me?
She couldn't get over your being only 14. Of course, Ivy goes for the tall, lanky type anyway.
Well, what'd she say? What'd she say?
She said you look and act like a great big man. At least 17.
You're kidding.
No. How'd you like her, Frankie?
Oh, she's solid. I never met a girl like that before. Say, Aunt Nikki.
Yes, dear?
How soon can you fix it for me to meet Mr. Queen?
Frankie. Oh, Frankie.
I just want to... Hey, you kissed me.
Here, Frankie, take my key. Go into the house. Wait for me.
But where are you going, Aunt Nikki?
To phone Ellery. So I ran over to the drugstore to call you, Ellery. Isn't it wonderful? I've won.
The kid must have good stuff.
Oh, he has, Ellery. He just never had a chance before, that's all. Ellery, couldn't we send him away to school? I'd pay my share. I can't swing it all alone.
I want to talk to him first, Nikki.
Well, of course.
As a matter of fact, I was just coming over to your place anyway, with Dad.
With the inspector? Ellery, what's the matter? Something's wrong. Does he know about Frankie?
No, it's something else. Dad, talk to Nikki.
All right, Nikki.
What is it, Inspector?
Vili just came up with a report.
The sergeant?
He's found out something important. Vili.
Yeah, Inspector.
Tell Nikki what you told me.
Reporter.
Yes, Sergeant.
You know this Fagan calls himself the Frog who runs that kid gang?
Yes.
Well, I just got one of the kids to open up. He don't know who the Frog is, but he does know where he lives.
Where, Sergeant?
In your house, Miss Porter.
My house?
Yeah, in one of those apartments.
Really?
Jimmy. Well, okay.
You'd better not go back there. There may be fireworks, understand?
Yes, but...
Dad, don't hang up.
Okay, son. Really? Come on.
Vicki.
Yes, Ellery.
Wait for me downstairs, Dad.
Vicki, it might be wise to get the boy out of there for the time being.
Yes, Ellery.
Take him to the Y, Nicky. Park him there and come back. Quick, before we get there.
Right. Mr. Gazzo, Dr. Cordle.
Oh, here's Miss Porter.
Mademoiselle.
Oh, what's the matter? Frankie! Frankie! He's hurt. He's bleeding. It's his head, Dr. Cordle.
Mr. Gazzo, just called me, Miss Porter. I just got here.
Mr. Gazzo!
I was going out for a newspaper, mademoiselle. I stumbled over your nephew. He was lying here in the hall, bleeding, unconscious.
Doctor, how is he?
Oh, bad blow on the head. Doesn't seem to be concussive, but... Mr. Gazzo, let me lift him. He's so big.
Yes, sir.
Here, let me help, too. So pale and so soon after...
Easy.
Dear.
Help!
What?
What's
help,
that?
Please!
What's the
Isn't that Mr.
That's
Stanklin?
It's Mr. Stanklin, I believe.
Mr. Stanklin, what's the matter?
My bonds. My life savings. My bonds. I've been robbed.
Nicky.
Now look, Miss Porter.
Don't talk to me, any of you.
Nicky, in the first place, that boy is the bubblegum kid we've been looking for.
I've been looking for, when all the time she had
him. I'm sorry, Sergeant. He was hurt. I had to give him his chance.
And look what he did with it.
Shut up, Vili.
In the second place, we found a wad of bubblegum stuck to Stanklin's strongbox.
And it's got the print of the kid's right forefinger smack on it. Clear as a picture.
Nicky, I'm sorry.
I suppose Frankie hit himself over the head.
Yes. The 3-pound scale weight we found near him with blood on it was made to order for a fake. All he had to do, Nicky, was hold it high over his head and let it drop.
And his prints are on that.
Fantastic.
Dad.
What, son?
This could be a frame-up, you know.
Yes, that's what it is. It's a frame-up.
We now know the man whom they call the Frog, the brains of the gang, lives in this house. Then he's seen Frankie here, and he's realized Nicky was rehabilitating him. He'd want to make Frankie an example, so that the kid still in the gang would be held in line. So he knocks out Frankie, presses Frankie's right forefinger into the bubble gum, robs Stanklin's strong box, and leaves the gum on the box.
And I'm Uncle Tom.
And that's just what happened.
Yeah? Didn't we find traces of bubble gum on the kid's right forefinger?
Of course you did, Sergeant. He was framed.
Wait a minute, Nicky. Were traces of gum found anywhere else on Frankie, Dad?
No, son. Just on his right forefinger. Why?
I want to talk to Frankie.
So do I.
Oh, don't get him excited, please. Maybe he's still too weak. Doctor.
Oh, hello there.
Frankie's not well enough to be questioned yet, is he, Dr. Cordle?
Oh, I think so, Miss Porter.
Oh.
Even though the blow was directly on top of his head, he's made a fine recovery.
Frankie. Frankie, I'm sorry you two had to meet this way, but this is Ellery Queen.
Hi, Mr. Queen.
Hello, Frankie. Well, fella, it looks as if you're in a jam.
Yeah. Yeah, they told me. But I didn't do it, Mr. Queen.
Frankie, how'd you get that crack on the skull?
Well, while Miss Porter was phoning, somebody knocked on the door, and I open it, and there's nobody there. I go out in the hall, and wham. And that's all I remember.
Hit from behind, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody was laying for me, Mr. Queen.
Frankie.
Huh?
Frankie, who's the Frog?
I don't know.
He's somebody lives in this house, kid. Now, who is he?
I don't know, I tell you. Let me alone, you lousy...
Frankie.
I'm sorry, Aunt Nicky. Cops are my friends, huh?
Can't you see he's telling the truth? The Frog is Mr. Gazzo or Dr. Cordle here.
I beg your pardon.
Well, you could be, Doctor. Or maybe it's all Stanklin himself. Stole his own bonds or something, but Frankie had nothing to do with it.
I'm sorry, Nicky, but I'm going to have
Dad.
To... Now, son.
Dad, I can clear the whole thing up for you.
There he goes again.
I can't help that, Sergeant, but now I know who the Frog is and all the rest of it. Gentlemen, you have the mystery. Now, suppose you home armchair detectives and our guest in the studio compare solutions. Nicky?
Certainly, Ellery. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Miss Flora Bell Muir, famous columnist of Daily Variety, the Entertainment World trade publication, and also West Coast correspondent for the New York Daily News.
Welcome to the armchair, Miss Muir. Well, you shouldn't have too much trouble solving this case tonight. If memory serves, you've had a great deal of experience covering criminal cases as a newspaper woman.
Well, Ellery, you're correct on one thing. I have had plenty of occasions to write about actual murder cases. But when it comes to something like your thriller tonight, well, that's another story. I'm not too much on the actual solving end of the mystery.
Well, you're just being modest, Miss Muir. Now, suppose we get down to the business at hand. Tell us, who is the frog and who stole the bonds?
I think the Frenchman is the frog because that's the name we apply to Frenchmen. He probably might have taken it for that reason.
I see. Yes, many people do use that term. What is your reason for selecting him as the guilty party?
Well, he doesn't seem to have any real connections anywhere. He seems to be running around interesting himself in crime of one sort and another. He seems to have some sort of a connection with Stangler or attempting to get acquainted with Stangler, probably to find out whether Stangler had any bonds or not or any money.
Thank you very much, Flora Bell Muir. We'll find out in just a moment if your solution is correct. Now, here's Paul Masterson.
The economic and political upheavals this country is experiencing now as a result of the war provides fertile ground for those who sow the seeds of racial and religious prejudice. Either through ignorance or indifference, many Americans these days are using the old scapegoat technique of blaming all modern-day difficulties on racial, religious, and other minority groups. Straighten out your friends who slander a whole group because of one petty personal dislike. Encourage respect of minority religions and races. Keep America great by promoting the racial and religious freedom that made it great.
First, Frankie didn't steal those bonds.
Frankie?
See what I tell you.
It's purely a matter of bubblegum technique. The print of Frankie's forefinger was found on the gum stuck to the old man's strongbox. Traces of gum were found on Frankie's forefinger and nowhere else. Watch a kid remove a wad of gum from his mouth. You'll find that he uses two fingers, his forefinger and his thumb. No trace of gum on Frankie's thumb, no thumbprint on the gum. Frankie never took that gum out of his mouth. Someone else did and pressed Frankie's forefinger into it. A frame-up, as Nicky said.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think of that?
It looks as if we figured you all wrong, Frankie. Hey, Bailey?
Sure does.
It's okay.
Second, who's the frog? Somebody living in this house. Now, aside from Nicky, who lives here? Dr. Cordell?
The frog. The frog. Hey, remember, Aunt Nicky? I said the doc looked like a Frankie.
It's all right. It doesn't bother me. And he's a child. But believe me, gentlemen, I'm not this man they call the frog.
Hey, wait a minute. Frog. The Frenchman. That's a slang word for Frenchman.
Yes, and as nasty a word, Sergeant, as kike, nigger, wop, polack, or any of the other insulting terms some people use to assert their purely imaginary superiority over their fellow citizens.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way, Maestro. I just meant...
Frog. Stanklin. His voice. That frog in his throat.
I think we can arrive at the frog by a more satisfactory route, Dad.
Oh?
What do we know the frog did? He struck Veely directly on the top of the head. But Frankie is tall. Dr. Cordell is small. Monsieur Gazeau has been described as the little Frenchman. But what about Stanklin? A big, tall man. Only Stanklin was tall enough, of the three possibilities, to strike the top of Frankie's head. Stanklin framed Frankie. Stanklin is the frog.
I think, Veely, we'll go upstairs and interview Mr. Stanklin.
Let me at him.
Thanks, Mr. Queen.
Frankie, this time I didn't have to remind you.
Boy, that was something. That was okay.
Ellery, will he have to go to court? I mean, those other charges.
I don't think we'll have much trouble in persuading the judge that Frankie deserves a chance, Nicky. He'll be put on probation in his Aunt Nicky's custody and mine.
Oh, Ellery.
Gee, don't start bawling. Please, Aunt Nicky. Makes a guy want to bawl himself.
Oh, now listen, please, for heaven's sake. You'll have me doing it in a minute. Nicky, will you cut that out? Frankie, for the love of God. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution to our mystery. Thank you, Miss Floribel Muir, for serving as our guest armchair detective this evening. As mementos of the occasion, I have for you a copy of my latest mystery anthology, The Queen's Awards, 1947, and a subscription to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine. Oh, Paul.
And what's for next week, Ellery?
Well, Paul, next week... Oh, by the way, are you interested in cards?
Cards? You mean bridge, poker, and such? Well, I...
Well, it isn't about cards, Paul. Even though I call it... One Diamond. This is Ellery Queen saying goodnight until next week and enlisting all Americans every night and every day in the fight against bad citizenship, bigotry, and discrimination. The crimes which are weakening America.
All names used on this program are fictitious and do not refer to real people, either living or dead. Among the members of tonight's cast were Howard Culver, Herb Butterfield, Kay Brinker, Alan Reed, Irvin Lee, Paul Frees, Ken Christie, and Don Morrison. Music was by Rex Corey, direction by Dwight Houser. Entire production under the supervision of Ellery Queen. Now, a listening reminder, like any other profession, babysitting has its occupational hazards. But here are the tales of Willie Piper, tonight. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
The Adventures of Ellery Queen, on Tuned to Yesterday from ABC, heard on April 29th, 1948. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.